Blog Talk Radio.
Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't, but success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In can be summed up the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart. Enjoy it. You'll be glad you did.
This is All the Way In Radio. I'm Deborah E. Lake. And tonight, over the last few shows, we've been laughing and having some fun. But tonight, we're going to have a serious topic. And the next few shows will be serious. We're going to talk about abortion. Whether you're for or against, this is not the show for you. What we want to do here is that there are many of us who have either struggled with the decision or helped someone else get through the decision one way or the other, regardless of where you fall. And that's what we want to talk about, and that's what these shows will be about, the emotions, the feelings, the process, so that we can help people who are in the situation right now, who are going through some of the same things that other people have gone through. And we're talking with women who have either helped or gone through the process themselves, and they're graciously and courageously sharing their experiences. And no matter who you are, you've been touched by this decision process. According to an article in U.S. News and World Report, there were 1.2 million abortions in 2005. Now, that's a drop. It was a 30-year low in 2005. But it's still pretty high, and that means that there are a lot of us are still dealing with this and will be So tonight my guest is using her pen name. Her name is Pearl Harbor, and I am going to welcome Pearl to the show. Hello.
I'm Pearl Harbor. I'm online.
Hi. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
Yes.
How would you do?
I'm fine. There's one thing. I think you have an echo.
I see.
Do you have me on speaker or something?
No, I'm not on speaker, no.
That's puzzling. But anyway, thank you for being here. I know this is not an easy topic to talk about.
No, it's quite sad at times.
Yes. One of the things that I would like to do to start with is to have you tell us a little about why you wanted to come on the show.
The thing is that when I was younger, I had the same problem, not once, but twice, three times. So I think some of the young ladies might see my side of the story as well and feel that they are not alone and they will never be alone because what they are going through now, somebody else has gone through and many others will go through too later.
Mm-hmm.
So it encourages them to think and to do what is correct.
Okay. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Spain.
Oh, okay. All right. Hello to Spain. One of the things that I would like to do is to have you tell us about your experience. The first time you were pregnant. Okay, we'll just go from there.
Okay. The first time I was pregnant, I was still on the pill. I have had two children, and the second was one of the difficult ones. I was very anemic, and I almost died at the operating table. So the medical team had put me on pills so that I would not get pregnant for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then, unfortunately, after 6 months, I found myself pregnant.
Mm.
So I was horrible. I was so mad, I don't know what to do. So I had mixed, confused feelings, sadness, anger, wretchedness, frustration, and then very, very dissatisfied with my body because I was not meant to get pregnant, and there I was pregnant.
Mm.
And then it was like putting fuel to fire. I was disillusioned with my doctors and blame my doctors for failing me.
Hmm.
But actually they have nothing to do, but it's nature, I suppose.
Hmm.
And then I wanted to fight with, I blamed everybody. Everybody who came my way for my misfortune, actually, because it's nature, I should say.
Hmm.
And I was frustrated with my husband as well because he's the only one who is around me. So what to do? You fight with him. And then you get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cry. And
yeah.
Then you blame yourself, blame him, blame everybody. That's how I felt when I discovered I was pregnant.
Okay. You blamed because sometimes it happens. We take the pill and sometimes you get pregnant, not 100%. So I can understand the anger, definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
How did you get past that?
Oh, I had to think hard, but luckily I had my parents and I had some good friends who advised. And then to make things better for me. Because when my husband says that, it's all right, you can have another child later. And if anybody else said that to me, I would say, oh my God, it's a good advice. But because I'm so angry and frustrated with him, then I fight back. I said, oh, you don't love me. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think a time went and I was so scared because I had to go through something. I had to remove this baby. But it was, the thing is that I'm doing it voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was saying, okay, I have a chance that if suppose I had this baby and like the second one, I would have died, then there'll be no future in my life and
mm-hmm.
no mother for the children.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me think and recover and be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I hear you say is that you had people around you that helped you. What did they do? To talk to the people who are trying to help someone now, what worked and what didn't?
I would tell them that to take life a bit easier, don't stress yourself and think that you are the only person in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the life always has a way of giving back more than what we deserve, I feel, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because now you are losing one baby. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have another one or two or maybe even five later on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a good reason for getting rid of one baby. Maybe to have another four.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if your medical situation or mental situation doesn't allow it, it's better to not to have the child.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the time is right and you decide and you're more settled, then you can have another child.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a hard time. I mean, now that I have had three children, I find out that, I mean, if I had known all the experience I have had in my years, I would never have had children at all. Because the problem of children, when they are babies, they are small. When they are big, the problems are big. And when they are adults, it's even bigger. So if you know all these things, people generally wouldn't think of having a child. Everybody will go on abortion. But luckily, we don't know what the future holds for us. So we are so appreciative when we fall pregnant.
Yeah. That's interesting. One of the things I hear you touching on is some people, if they knew what they were in for, probably would choose not to be parents.
Exactly. Not even to have one child.
That's interesting. I really appreciate your candor on that one, because I think that's difficult to say, but given the statistics, especially in here in the U.S. with child abuse and neglect and things like that, we might need to have that conversation a little more often. What it actually means when you have a child, that child is in your care. Literally, I have children for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
And that can be a good thing. It is for me. But if you're a different kind of person or someone who doesn't want that kind of responsibility for another person, then that's something to be to talk about and think about.
Yes. Exactly. It will be a burden for you if you don't have the means or the ability to take care of another body.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk a little more with you about your process, the emotional and the process of making the decision. Okay?
Okay.
And we'll just take a quick break, about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there?
I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No, Rachel found out John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah, she was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind.
Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, we are back, and I'm here with my guest. We're talking about abortion and the process, the personal part of it, regardless of whether you're for or against. We're talking about the personal effects of the decision. And I'm here with my guest, Pearl. Who's in Spain, and we're talking about her experiences, and she's sharing her wisdom with us. So, Pearl, thank you again for still being here, and I want to talk about, as much as you're comfortable, about the emotions and the feelings and how you moved past it. For instance, I have a question. On the date that you had your abortion, do you remember that, or is it just you know, that kind of thing. See?
Yes, I remember. I was dressed in a white dress because I didn't know whether to, because back in Asia, the dead people were the widows or the parents or the mother, whoever who is surviving, they all dressed in white when they went to a funeral. Not like Europe and America, they wear black.
Yeah.
So I wore white to go to the hospital.
Mm. Mm.
And I was trembling from head to toe because the thing is, you don't know what's going to happen. What are they going to do? How it is done? Because they don't actually tell you what to do. They say it's called DNC. And then you go into the hospital, and the doctor will say, okay, he will talk to you for a few minutes. He will give you something to calm you down. And then they will do the, they call it cleaning the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it must be very painful, you think. I said, my God, terrible thing to happen. Anyway, you go there, and husband is kept outside. You go into the doctor, and they prop you up. They give you an injection, and you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's strange. I thought they were going to do something where I will be awake and knowing what is going on. So I was completely asleep. When I woke up, I was shivering. I wanted to vomit. And the fear came back. I said, my God, what's happening? So they didn't do anything to me. They just put me to sleep and woke me up. And then I opened my eyes, and the whole place was spinning around the building. And I was still under the anesthesia. And then I woke up and I said, what's happening? I said, I want to vomit. And boo, the whole thing came out. I don't know what it was. And then I was shivering. And they told me that everything is over. And I said, but what did you do? He said, we just did a DNC for you. I said, what is a DNC? They said, they go in and clean your womb. That's all. And you're okay, you can go home in about half an hour to 45 minutes if you can stand straight. And the fear comes back, and you say, my God, am I going to kill somebody today or not? Because that type of feeling comes into you. You don't know whether you're coming, you're going, you're sitting or standing. You're not yourself at all. Maybe because you have, like you feel you have committed a sin or murder. You feel the culprit in the whole situation. So, thing is that you don't know whether you have done the right thing or you're doing the wrong thing. There's no right and wrong in whatever you decide, is it? So it's all what you feel within yourself that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to feel better. I'm going to feel better when I do the abortion. That's what you feel. Because before the abortion, you are thinking, okay, I'm going to make a list of all the things are good for making an abortion and all the things that are against doing an abortion. And you find that you don't have anything against making an abortion. Neither do you have anything for making an abortion. It's all within your brain. You're saying, okay, if I do abortion, I will be alive. At least I can look after the other two children.
Hmm.
Said, okay, but if I don't do the abortion, I'll have three children maybe. Maybe I won't die. Maybe I'll have my husband. This is infinite number of combinations come to your mind. So, but you are physically doing it all on your own. No one else actually can do it for you.
No.
So, you have to suffer what you think you have to do.
That's true.
That's true.
That is true. It's a decision that you can get support with, and that's part of what why I'm doing this. But it's ultimately a decision that one person can make only.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody, everybody can give you advice and tell you do this, do that. One body says don't do anything, the other says do this, and then in the end, all that information you collect, you only can make the decision whether it's right or wrong. You are the one who is going to do it. And you are the one who has to live with the guilty and the blame that you are going to suffer throughout your life. Sometimes, I mean, it will pass. You will have 5 children, and you don't even think about the abortion you have had.
Mm-hmm.
And thing is, when you don't have a child, and then you will say, my God, if I had known that I was not going to have another child, I should have stayed with this baby. But the thing is, maybe you are sick, you can't support the baby, or your body can't take up the pregnancy. There is infinite number of combinations that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to trust the doctors and the nurses and the parents to guide us. And in the end, we have to take the decisions ourselves. And you live with the guilt or the good news or whatever that you go with yourself.
This is leading me to ask you another question. And anytime I ask you a question that you don't want to answer, please.
Okay.
You don't have to. How do you think going through the process of making the decision and following whatever decision you made, following that through, how did that change you?
First, it makes you angry, sad, annoyed, and you become a recluse. You don't want to take a shower. You just stay in bed, or you stay in the sofa, glued to the TV, or you don't even look at anybody. You don't even talk to anybody. It takes some time to get over the shock. It takes maybe, for some people, 1 week, some people, 1 month. But I think I got through it in the end. Maybe about a month it took me to recover completely. But then mentally, it doesn't go away. It nags on you over and over and over again. And then you don't know whether to cry or to scream or just to be quiet in a corner. You don't even see anybody coming or going through the house. It's a matter of combat with your will.
Mm-hmm.
You fight. Sometimes you give up. Sometimes you weep for no reason. And then you get up in the morning one day, and then you're okay. You cook your meal. You clean the house. And then you next day, you're weeping again for no apparent reason. So the change of environment and things, they all add up one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you sometimes, it does take a long time for some people to recover. I know one of my friends who had, and she was almost a year just weeping, and she has to go on medications to keep herself going. But luckily, I didn't have to take any antidepressive treatment or anything, so I was a bit stronger.
That's interesting. What you're describing is the grief process. You grieve.
Yes, exactly.
And there's a process that you go through to heal.
Yes.
And to move on.
Exactly.
Well, here's a question I would like to ask you.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about your book.
Okay.
But I would like to ask you, if you could go back in time,
mm-hmm.
and talk to yourself before mm-hmm. your first abortion, what would you say?
I would have told myself it was a good thing that you did an abortion. I would definitely tell myself. Take it because you have all had 2 children, and maybe even if you don't have another one, just be healthy. Because what I was made to do was to get rid of one so that I'll be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had died, my children may have to have a stepmother or go and live with somebody else, an aunt or a grandmother or whatever. So I think it was a good decision I made or I was made to believe that I was doing a good decision. And I do feel that it was a correct, good decision I had to take, and I did it. So I am actually happy.
That's good. I like what you're saying, because you are really laying out the middle road. So many people are all the way over against abortion, all the way over for abortion, but not many people talk about the middle, and that's where most of us are. And that's where the mixed feelings are. And the you talk about guilt, and you talk about your decision being the right thing for you, so you shouldn't be guilty of it, feel guilty about it. The grief, all of that is in the middle, and that's what we need to talk about more.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story so candidly.
Thank you.
So
I'm very happy that I'm able to help your girls.
Yes, I'm sure you are. People who are listening now and who will listen in the future. So let's talk about your book.
Okay.
How did you come to write it?
It was a personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what I went through in my life.
So
I was...
Autobiographical?
Almost, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was being married to Don Juan, which was quite hard.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he was Spanish, so you can imagine how it would be.
Mm-hmm. So who is it written for?
Pardon?
Who's the audience for your book? Who do you hope reads it?
Mainly people who believe that love is for love is made in heaven. You love a person and you stick by them no matter what.
Hmm.
And I feel that no matter how strong or hard or good men are, they are actually little boys with toys around because they can't help being unfaithful.
Mm.
And the men, they can't help cheating. And they are, what would I say, they forgive you very easily. And women can do anything they want, and they wouldn't know what's happening.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because I have grown up in 2-3 countries.
Pardon me? I think we got cut off. Oh. Well, maybe she'll call back. This was an interesting interview. I think that the fact that she talks about the mixed feelings and her conflict is where most of us are. And many of us, rather than explore those feelings, whether we're for or against, many of us take it out on the opposition. We direct that energy to people who we perceive as being against us. And I think that's where a lot of the energy behind some of the meanness that happens around the debate of abortion, I think that's where it comes from. We don't fight our own feelings. We don't look at our own feelings about it. And it's a distraction to fight one another. And Pearl is back. Hi.
Yes, I'm sorry. I got cut off.
No, that's okay. I can talk a little bit. So I kept it going for a little while. Yeah.
Okay.
So, like I said, I want to really thank you for being here. And is there anything else you'd like to say?
I would like to tell the girls that no matter what they decide, whether it's not to have the abortion or to keep the baby, the time will heal. Time is always there to heal and cure you from inside out. You might not believe it at times, but it does pass soon enough. And then they will find out that maybe they are with the same husband in 10 years' time, or they may be having 5, 6 children at the end of their life. And all this memory what they have had now, it will all go blurred in their background. And they will never speak about it again. And actually nothing changes in much in life. And what we go through is just what it is, go through. We just pass by like going on a trip. It continues. Our life continues. And we
very
get over all the obstacles in the end.
Very good advice. And thank you very much for being here.
And you're welcome, Deborah.
Wish you all success with your book and any other endeavor that you take.
Okay. Thank you very much. And
you.
All the best with your work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless you too. Bye.
That is it for today. Thank you for being here. And thank you for spreading the word about All the Way In. This is All the Way In Radio, and we record live and uncensored. I'm Deborah E. Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time, world. To download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email. All the Way In at DeborahELake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise.